From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when former Rochester Mayor Bob Duffy became the president and CEO of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce. Duffy wanted to create a single powerful message to promote the entire Rochester and Finger Lakes region, and he tells the story in a recent essay for the Rochester Business Journal. Duffy was disappointed that after a 90-minute discussion with some of the top marketing and public relations teams, he didn't find a sense of cohesion. Instead, he saw firms trying to one-up each other, and Duffy had been hoping that the firms would pool their talent and work together. It's a small but significant example that Duffy sees playing out in other ways. His essay is a call to action for this region, a call to stop being so negative, to stop sabotaging big ideas before they can get off the ground. He points to the local bid to bring Amazon's new headquarters to town. Duffy writes that the team who worked on that bid was confident, but critics still threw tomatoes at the effort. And he writes, quote, "Yes, we have some challenges like every other metro, but we also have remarkable companies, colleges and universities, talent, creativity, arts and culture, and one of the most beautiful regions in the entire world right here. We have to change our status as the best-kept secret in New York State. To do that, we must first take a long look in the mirror to see how each of us can think and act differently to help promote our region." And Duffy goes on to say, quote, "No one is going to invest in a person who doesn't believe in themselves. Similarly, no one is going to invest in a region where its own residents tend to denigrate themselves often or compete with each other to a level where it becomes counterproductive and breaks trust," end quote. Now, as critics say, he's calling on the public to simply stop scrutinizing all the big projects and become boosters. Duffy says that's not the case, and he's here to defend and elaborate on his views in the essay. Great to have you back here, Bob. Thanks for taking the time to be here.
Evan, great to be here. You covered it very well. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you've expressed similar sentiment on this program before, so I wasn't surprised to see the essay, but clearly there must be something that's irking you right at this moment. Is there one thing that kind of pushed you over the edge?
No, in all honesty, I'm just coming off and almost done with the Rock the Riverway project, which has been tremendous. There'll be a public unveiling hopefully next week or two with the governor and the mayor and others. An extraordinary project, a great volunteer advisory board that worked very diligently, gave of their own time to go out and listen and to engage people, large meetings, and some would go to St. Simon's Terrace and the Plex neighborhood and other areas that people, neighborhoods affected by the river. But not always ask what they think. And, I think opinions and discourse is great. And by no means am I saying every jump behind every major project and just be a cheerleader. I think there's a time for discourse, but there's also a time for, hey, how do we fix things? And maybe through a process where if a project, people don't like it, maybe we work toward making it better, as opposed to being a graveyard for investment where it just stops because of, public pressure on one side, or maybe an inability to get people to collaborate on it. And I see it in other areas. As you mentioned, the meeting I had was, I think, almost 3 years ago, and large, medium, and small public relations firms. We were gathered for lunch, meeting great people, great talent. And I would say probably more than half wanted to collaborate. But I know one of the big ones, I have great respect for the leader in the company, said, this doesn't work. We just need to compete and let the best campaign win. That's it. Where I thought, hey, get all these minds together in a room and work at it and come up even with a better product, just synergize. And we're going to revisit that at some point. But there's a sense of sometimes we compete with each other as opposed to collaborating. There's a time to compete, but also a time to collaborate. We have agencies that compete with each other. Chambers of Commerce look at other chambers or take in their members. Economic development agencies look at others as who's going to get credit for this or that. Where I think if we have this abundance mentality where if we just work together and if who cares who gets the credit, we're gonna win. So just I think it's people are more worried about where do I or my agency stand. Mm-hmm. And it goes for there's public, not-for-profits, private. People are worried about their own bottom lines, and if they give any ground, they might lose something. And let's kind of reinvigorate the spirit of George Eastman and pull people together and just, we have immense talent here and immense opportunities, and these times don't come along very often. That was really the essence why I wrote that.
If you want to read that, RBJ's got it. We'll also link to the Chamber's website where they've posted Bob's essay there. And I know you travel a bit for work. Have you been to other cities and regions where you think, wow, this is the spirit? These guys are pulling together.
Well, last year I was in Greenville, South Carolina, smaller than Rochester. I was amazed at just the downtown area walking through. They had arts and cultures, shopping, stores, people everywhere. I thought a great spirit there. I talked to the mayor. The mayor's been in Greenville, and she also echoed my sentiments there. a neighbor close to us is Buffalo. And I've witnessed, in my last career with the governor, I have witnessed a transformation going on in Buffalo. And whenever I hear people say, no, it's not happening, it's all a mirage, I'm like, hey, get in a car and come with me. I had lunch probably 3 or 4 months ago at Canalside with one of my board members and some people in Buffalo. And I was there early on before the hotel was built and a lot of construction going on, and it just took off. And I give Governor Cuomo credit. I give Terry and Kim Pegula credit, Mayor Byron Brown, others who pulled together, and all of a sudden things began to happen. And you could feel the Buffalo pride. There's always been a lot of pride there. You could feel it now more than ever, even when they're inviting expats to come back to Buffalo. And Rochester is that same way. And I'm a little bit older than you are, Evan, but I remember singing that song, I'd Rather Be in Rochester. We used to have these campaigns. We don't need 5 or 10 campaigns for Rochester. When I say Rochester, I don't mean just a city. I think we should think as a region.
Yeah.
You know, you have Rochester, Monroe County, and a hub, but we have really a 9-county region, which is fantastic. Tremendous agriculture, scenic beauty, technology, universities and colleges, and I think the region is our future. With the city, our great city, at its hub. And so thinking regionally, we should have a more unified message here, and I think we can do it. It's a matter of, you know, now's the time not just to compete. Let's collaborate. And I think if we do that correctly, we're going to see some great things happen.
I had a recent conversation on this program with someone who I assume you know. I don't know if you know her well. Stephanie Miner, former mayor of Syracuse.
I know very well, yes.
Yeah, and you know, so as the former mayor of Syracuse who was term limited out, we're not exactly sure where she goes next. She's an attorney. She's talked about running for governor. She was more critical of the governor than you have been on this program, even though she is a Democrat like the governor. And she said on this program that some of the criticism of developers we often hear in political campaigns, she said some of it's valid. She says if you look at the way people spend money on campaigns, you can almost draw a straight line to what government decides to do with projects. I wonder if you think the criticism of developers is too strong.
I would say, like any profession, when you have a small number, a relatively small number, when things go wrong, there's a problem. There's a wide brush painted. And I'll go back to my time as mayor, and I can tell you a story. I never asked anybody for money. I made one phone call when I was running for mayor in a law office in downtown Rochester. Halfway through, I apologized. I said, I can't do this. Hung up the phone and told my campaign finance person.
That is a true story.
That is a true story, and I could give you two people that witnessed that in that law office. And the contractor I called is still alive. He's retired now. I grew up in a family. He didn't ask for money. You worked. But I had people that raised money. And I would tell you, as mayor, people would certainly, architects, engineering firms, companies would contribute. They always do contribute to whoever is in office, mayor, city council, county executive, governor. And keep in mind, these firms that contribute, by and large, are all the best firms. And they're all very good. And here, you know, it's, I can tell you right now, as mayor, I never once said, give this work to this person because he or she gave money to my campaign. I never looked at campaign donations. I never looked at party affiliation. I would say sometimes you can draw correlations, and I'm not saying it never happens, but most governments have a process. We had a weighted process. You had people, it wasn't me involved. It might have been corporation counsel, engineers, architects, our planning department, different departments, department heads would work on it, weighted vote. I was considered a little controversial, I think, in my second year, where I said, we're going to add 5% to that weighted vote for city businesses. So if you were located in the city, you got 5%. And I was taking a task at a Rotary meeting once, and I kind of returned the salvo because I didn't care. I was the mayor of the city, and we're going to support city businesses. But I could tell you that in those times where somebody would say it happens, I would guarantee any mayor, any county executive across this country, any governor, people will contribute. You don't even ask them. People may think they get influenced by it, but they contribute. But when your selections are made, you're going to pick the best companies. And why would you pick somebody inferior because they gave you money and have a problem? To me, that's bad government. But I would say those that complain, you know, I always say, change the system, then change it. And I'll guarantee you that if the best way to shrink political contributions is to say anybody contributes does not get a contract, but then you have to take it across the board to every entity. And I just think, I think in Albany and cities across this country, I think that stuff you know, it sounds good in a soundbite. I think it's very hard to achieve when you look at, you have to think through everything. And, you know, my sense is at some point you're going to see some major changes. What they are, I don't know. But I think sometimes criticism at times could be true, but I think more often than not, it's perception. And a lot of perception is out there.
All right, listeners, as we go throughout the program, as we talk about not only just pride in our region, but what translates to good business and opportunity. Are we sabotaging ourselves by being too negative? Do we have too negative a self-view? Are we unfair to big ideas and big projects? Bob Duffy's here for the hour, the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. You can call the program 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Now, given your call for us to try to think positively, try to resist, you know, a negative self-image or anything that might unfairly sabotage good ideas, I'd like to know what you would want the community to do as we evaluate an ongoing story. That's tough. I talk to a lot of people privately, and they're very nervous about what could happen with Bob Morgan's company. And I know you know Bob probably a lot better than I do. He's a pretty private person, very well regarded in our community. Now we know that his son and nephew have already been charged with multiple counts. And the question is Bob Morgan himself a target of an investigation? The FBI raided his office about a month ago. Are you worried about that? Are you worried about what happens there?
Well, you know, I'm going back to my first career. I believe innocent until proven guilty. And I know Bob. I have enormous respect for Bob. What I know of Bob is just a decent, hardworking person who does great things. He really does. And doesn't ask for anything. I don't think he's ever been involved with politics. He's somebody just, he works and works and works. And what a great life story, the tragedy he endured in his younger years and what he turned that into. And, you know, having been in law enforcement for 29 years, or almost 29 years, I have respect for the FBI and let them do their investigation. But I think sometimes, when things are reported, if they don't pan out, or they're not true, or a person is acquitted or found not guilty, how do you get your reputation back? I think sometimes it's already out there so much. So I only know what I read, and I know the person as a person. I have faith in that person. I know nothing of the specifics that I see, and I just I don't comment any further on that. Am I worried? I think in the end, good things are happening here, and Bob has done a lot to invest in his community. I drive by his projects every day. You see them, apartment projects and others, and I think let. I guess him, the best person to make that decision would be Bob, his team, and the mayor's office in terms of what is best. And I think it's premature to even think about that yet. But I would say sometimes the perceptions can be damaging because there could be actually nothing wrong, or somebody does something wrong he's not aware of, and all of a sudden it impacts other businesses. So I think that they have to manage perceptions on that. And let the facts come out. And I'm not sure how long that would be, but I think we have to wait and see.
Sure. And this is where I've got no personal expertise. So I have no idea what happens. Let's say, hypothetically, behind the scenes, I'm sure the mayor's office is thinking about this. People have to at least think about different eventualities. But I'm not sure even if Bob Morgan himself is made the target of an investigation or allegations. But does this mean that projects he's involved with halt or go backwards? I mean, is there a chance that they go into receivership or different ownership or different control? I mean, what I don't think that necessarily means we pull the plug on everything.
No. I think it'd be hard to even talk about hypotheticals. Okay. My sense is I think you have faith in our system here. Not everybody I could ever say this about, but every contact, every shred of knowledge I know about Bob Morgan is nothing but a very good, decent, honest, incredibly hardworking individual. So that said, I mean, his reputation has been impeccable. And let this play out. I don't know. I think he has a couple of people on his team. I think it's too premature to even think about that yet. I understand the perceptions. But in this world, my sense is that there are other people. If somebody had need to step in at some point. I know he's very well respected in the business community. So I think there's great relationships here. And nobody wants things to falter or not to succeed. And I think what the mayor is doing in downtown and throughout the city, some of the great things she's doing, you want to keep going. And I'm around here all the time. I drive everywhere. We're walking. There is just growth and cranes and work everywhere. It is exciting. And then you throw in the Rock the Riverway, which should come out in the next week or two. It's very, very exciting. And none of us want this momentum to slow down one bit.
Now, when it comes to Parcel 5, obviously Bob Morgan is a sort of a central figure in Parcel 5 as it's been proposed and as the mayor's office has favored. In this case, the mayor has said, look, for the moment, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, I don't want to misspeak for the mayor, but she's essentially said, look, for the moment, Bob Morgan is not charged and things are going to proceed until they, you know, we're kind of told otherwise. Do you think that's the right approach?
I agree with the mayor. I think it's the right approach because, you know, for anyone to judge somebody before the facts are wrong, and we talk about stereotyping, perceptions, and, you know, all the things that we know if it's, we're stopping buddy on the street and somebody's being profiled inappropriately, that's wrong. We also should apply the same principles to people in business and other places. Don't profile. Let's wait for the facts to come in. And, the unfortunate thing is it might be 2 months, 6 months, a year, might be more than that. But it's pretty clear that everything I've read so far is that there's nothing directly going toward Bob Morgan. And I think the mayor's position is absolutely right. The mayor is an attorney. The mayor understands that. And if I were the mayor, I would say exactly the same thing.
By the way, before I take our first phone call for Bob Duffy, who is president and CEO of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce, you really think business folks, whether it's in development or elsewhere, can get profiled in the same way as people on the street? Is that seems like a bit of a stretch.
Well, here's the thing. There's perceptions that people have. And I think that, you know, I hear it all the time, you know, one percenters. I've heard people describe, quote unquote, one percenters. And I know in one case, I remember telling this person, the person you're talking about, I know that he personally paid for the medical expenses of somebody who died of cancer a few years ago who had no money. And did it anonymously and gave a huge amount of money and did not want his name attached to it. And I just see a lot of very good people. So I think the best thing is don't profile or stereotype anybody. I'm applying the same principles that we can't say it's right here and wrong there. And to put, you know, all developers in one batch, all politicians, all, you know, young people, whatever it may be, I just think that's wrong. And I think we've come a long ways addressing that. So, you know, we should go backwards and let the facts speak for themselves.
All right. See, this conversation went a little farther afield than I expected already. So I'll ask one more point on that. In general, this sounds to me like the conversations that are happening nationally about identity politics. And some of the calls are to sort of pull back on judging too much by groups or by, you know, well, this person is white, this person is Latino, this person is gay, this person is Jewish. So therefore, the calls against identity politics sound to me similar to what you're saying about as we look at the business community.
If you judge, to me, I mean, it is inherently wrong to judge anybody by the color of their skin, their religion. You go right down the list. I mean, to me, it's, you know, you group people. I'm sorry, I could go back to the way I was raised. I'm the son of a former nun, so you can imagine how I was raised in my house. And right and wrong and those things were drilled into our heads as kids. And, you know, that's one of the things that my philosophies in life right now, I didn't learn in politics or in government or my careers. I learned at home with my mother and father. And, and you see those things play out. And I think it is wrong. And I think it happens. I would never say, oh, it doesn't happen. Sure, it happens. It happens. It should not happen. And I think we're getting better and better at trying to address that. We're not perfect as a society, but I think we're making strides, and hopefully make those strides even faster.
Bob Duffy's essay that he wrote for the RBJ that you can find now is called Now is the Time to Reinforce Our Civic and Regional Pride. And we're talking about this notion of our self-image and what it does to our efforts to grow, to attract jobs, to attract companies. Of course, Bob is in his role as president of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce is central in that effort. And he wants to see a little bit more of an arm's length pulling together. And I'm somebody, Bob, who I have sort of the advantage of having come here 15 years ago, not growing up here. So I think this is a big generalization, but I think a lot of people who grow up in a place take for granted its assets. You know, a lot of people, I came to Rochester, I couldn't believe Rochesterians who'd never driven to a Finger Lake. Mm-hmm. You're an hour, you're 90 mm-hmm. minutes from some of those beautiful places in the world. It's your region. So I really understand some of your feeling with that. But you're a local guy, right? Mm-hmm. Well, why did you avoid that cynicism?
Well, I think a lot of us have. I think we have a lot of pride here. I think in today's world, and I think sometimes just general personalities, people tend to be negative about everything. And I will tell you, in my life, I don't like to be around negative people. I'm not around them at home. I don't like being around them at work because certainly you can deal with them. But you know what? Life is precious and life is good. And I've had enough experiences in my life and had enough friends and people I knew who had their lives cut short So every day is a good day and enjoy it. And we live in a great place. And I just would say this for people that don't feel that way about our region. Imagine if you walked into our favorite supermarket. I won't name any names for commercials, but our favorite supermarket, our favorite restaurant. And as you walk in, some of the employees are saying, oh, God, this is terrible. Don't come here. Would you come there? Probably not. You walk away. I always say coming to Rochester, when you're on these airline conversations, and I don't fly very much. I don't travel outside very much. I usually buy car. But when I do, you know, we get into a conversation with somebody about Rochester. You know, what do people talk about? Oh, the weather, the cold. Well, you know, we have great weather. Even in the winter, we have great winter sports. We have water, an abundance of that. When you actually look at what we have, we don't have tornadoes, at least often, if not hurricanes, other than some windstorms, a lot of really crazy weather that really impacts people's lives. I think we miss it. Get some snow, and you can shovel snow and get it off the street, have some cold. But we have a beautiful spring, a beautiful summer, beautiful falls, and the winters, if you do the right activities, you can have just as much fun in the winter. And just recently, Finger Lakes region just voted number one wine region in the country, and you are I'll call you an expert. I've read your book on Finger Lakes wine. But, you know, to be above Napa Valley and places like that and be rated is pretty nice. I went to the Finger Lakes Welcome Center opening yesterday with Governor Cuomo and many other leaders. What a fabulous welcome center in Geneva. I mean, just you walk in there, it is absolutely stunningly beautiful. So if I'm driving in from Massachusetts or New York City or Canada and I stop in there, I'm going to be very impressed with the place. And I would encourage anybody out for a family drive, if you're near Geneva, stop in and see it. It's right on the water. It's fabulous. Kind of a partnership between New York State, New York Kitchen, which was well represented yesterday, a number of other leaders and tourism groups in the city of Geneva. It's fantastic. And I think we should have pride. And I'll say one last thing. One of your new neighbors is Live Tiles. That company could have gone
right
anywhere,
here in High Falls.
Right here in High Falls.
Yep.
You know, we're probably just a 2-minute walk from their office. That company is, I believe, one of the top artificial intelligence software developers in the country, if not the world right now. Based in Australia, they have offices in the UK, I think the one in Ireland, Silicon Valley, New York City. I went to their office in New York. They chose Rochester over a number of international cities and right down to the wire between us and Charlotte, North Carolina. They chose it because they love the city and location. They love High Falls. They love RIT. They love the people. I think that the relationships we developed over the recruiting process, and I credit people like Matt Hurlbut from GRE, Vinny Esposito from Empire State Development, Jeff Adair from the county, Baya Muhammad from the city. We had a great team. I think it was relationships do matter. But they had a choice, and they chose here. And that's a pretty cool thing. And have the CEO at the announcement get up and really be one of the biggest cheerleaders in the room. And this man's not from here. He's been here a handful of times. He's from Australia. He loves this place. He loves Rochester, the Finger Lakes. He wants to live up here. So a lot of it's just saying, hey, take a step back and, you know, look at the glass. It's more than half full. And maybe just, going back to your original point, we have issues and problems. Let's deal with those. But let's create a sense of team. And if you've played team sports, or been on a team, or been part of an organization, you want to be part of success, and I think we have just a huge opportunity. And I would say this lastly, the question here, worked for the governor for 4 years. I challenge anybody, tell me another governor who has invested more money in upstate New York than Governor Cuomo. I mean, I look at when I was mayor, I had Governor Pataki, Governor Spitzer, Governor Patterson, and not much happening. Here, Governor Patterson delivered like $50 million for Midtown. It was tremendous. But I look at, you know, what the governor's doing up here. This is a time where we have opportunities to come together and really do some great things and build for the future. And it's exciting.
All right, let me get a phone call. I will mention to Bob that I was out at one of Rochester's newest restaurants just a few months ago, was in a group and was talking to a woman who's from Boston. She's been here for a couple of years, and she said at one point, well, I joked to my friends that sometime I'll move back to a real city. And I almost walked out on the establishment at that point. But I said, no, I like this place too much. I'm staying. But I actually happen to really love being here. And said so, by the way.
I love it. And I've been to Boston. Boston's a great city.
Yeah.
But I have no intention or desire ever to move to Boston. And I will take our traffic and our amenities here any day.
All right. In a moment here, I'll get some of your phone calls. Mary writes an email to the program and says, we are moving downtown this summer. Can't wait. It's looking better every day. Only boring people are bored in Rock City. That comes from Mary.
You know, you probably Mary's point, I'm having dinner at Bronco one night with family and friends, and I must have seen 10 or 15 dog walkers go by. And I can tell you, I haven't seen that in years. people walking their dogs out at night. There's so much going on, so much investment and good things going on. And, you know, it's the mayor and city hall. It's the developers. People are investing their own money. We're seeing a transformation before our very eyes. And I also love when people talk about the good old days. Please define what were the good old days, because whenever they were never good. We always talk about times when, hey, we lived through those. And no, they weren't so good back then. We complained back then. But you know what? These are the good old days right now with all this stuff happening.
All right. I see the phone ringing. Let's get our only break. We'll come back. We'll take more of your questions, comments for Bob Duffy. His piece is called Now is the Time to Reinforce Our Civic and Regional Pride. We'll ask him specifically. He knows what he wants business leaders to do. What does he want all of us to do to help improve the image of our region, to spread that message? We'll ask for Bob's call of action on that. We'll talk about specific projects that he sees, because one of his concerns is, if we have this negative self-image, does it hurt our chances to grow, to get big things done? So we'll talk a lot about that and a lot more with Bob Duffy next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, yesterday we explored the state of the Libertarian Party in 2018. Next hour we explore the state of the Green Party in 2018. What are their goals, particularly with so many Democrats saying it's time for the left to unify going into the midterms and the next presidential election? What do the Greens have to say about that? What are the issues they think are most vital? We'll discuss it next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Sam in Rochester, first on the phone with Bob Duffy. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, before I ask the question, I want to tell you something about Bob that you probably don't know.
Okay.
Bob has a championship ring from McQuaid, and I want to let his Aquinas people know that Bob Duffy has a championship ring from McQuaid. What?
So, that you gave me.
But I wanted to ask Bob that, you remember when you were going out to the companies and you were finding jobs and you called all the ministers together, and then we took those jobs back and found applicants for them and sent them out to those job sites for jobs. Are you still doing that kind of thing in the city or outside the city?
We are doing that. And first of all, it is great to hear from you. And yes, I still have a McQuaid ring. I think you gave me that you earned. At Aquinas, we did not earn one. But the old chant when Aquinas played McQuaid real quick was something like, hey, hey, what do you say? You're all going to work for us someday. So McQuaid kids would chant their Aquinas. So I have to give it. McQuaid won those championships back then. And I appreciate, first of all, your friendship and your comment. And yes, I have a young man, one of our newest executives at the chamber. His name is Adrian Hale. He can call the chamber. Adrian is a John Marshall High School graduate, a U.S. Marine Corps graduate, 2 tours in Afghanistan as a Marine and Marine Sergeant. He went to MCC, graduated from there, went to Yale. Graduated from Yale a year ago May, and he is now leading our workforce development, some of our economic development efforts here. And he is placing people along with our RBA staffing team almost every day. And if you can give us a call, we have a temporary staffing business. We also have Adrian has put on some training programs with FoodLink and Wegmans for like forklift operators, things like that, that have helped place people. So if you want to get in touch with me, Pastor, I will just certainly connect with Adrian and try and help out. Any way we could do that, to me, it's one of the big steps that the chamber can do to help address some of the issues of poverty and joblessness here.
Okay, but I have one other question. Okay. This may be a little difficult for you. You may not want to answer this one, but if you were mayor now, what would you do different than that's being done now? Now, you don't have to answer it if he's going to put you in a difficult position.
I'm pretty blunt. I'll tell you what.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam, thank you. I think Mayor Warren is doing a great job. I mean, I look at some of the stuff she's doing. Look around, drive around the city and downtown, and I see a lot of different angles. I'm on a Rock the Riverway project. I see what her and her team have put forth. I think she's doing some great things. I really do. And, in that office, having been there, I think any mayor can tell you, some people will like what you do. Some people hate what you do. It's just life. You can't help it. And people are always going to agree or disagree. But I will tell you from where I sit, I think Mayor Warren has done an exceptional job. And I'll tell you about the mayor, one thing I've always admired about her. She is very strong when she takes a position or takes a stance on something, she, you know, she'll take it and she'll really hold her ground. And there's a sense of toughness, which I really admire. Sometimes people change their decision midstream. They go to a meeting, somebody yells or screams, and they change. She doesn't do that. If she really believes in something, she'll do it. And I tell you, I think the mayor and her team are doing some great things. I think the city is being very well served, and no mayor can fix every problem or every issue. But what I see she's doing, I think the city should be very proud of her.
844-295-TALK. If you want to call the program with Bob Duffy, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI here in Rochester, 263-9994. Did you think that some of the public criticism of the Amazon bid hurt that bid, Bob?
I don't think so, but you know, you never know. Amazon does monitor social media quite a bit. I think what hurt us the most there was we had no international travel, direct flights from here, and that was a big thing they wanted. I also think the concern was, could we fill enough of the engineering and tech jobs fast enough here? Do we have the capacity like a big city? I think if you look at who they picked, it was all the larger metro areas. It wasn't cities our size. So I think those were two areas, but those things don't help when that happens. And, you know, I'm a lifelong Bills fan. I am. You know, the Bills have been a long time since they've been a Super Bowl, but I don't bash the Bills. I might be unhappy at times, but, you know, I'm a supporter. I'm loyal to them. You know, every year I have great hope and expectations. But I feel the same way about this community and this region. And, again, it's not just a city. It's this entire region. We have so much to be thankful for, and we just have to get people to believe in it themselves. And I don't mean sugarcoat things. Hey, we have to work through our issues. People may differ on projects, but let's find consensus and let's get things done and execute. Let's not have things die on the vine as we've seen so many times in the past.
All right, let me read from your essay on that subject exactly. This is what Bob writes in his piece. He says, throughout my public life, I've been a firm believer in listening to contrarian views and opinions that differ from mine while making every effort to build consensus. Looking at today's landscape, it really is time for Rochester and the Finger Lakes region to seek a more collaborative, team-building approach to boost our positivity. End quote. So what I want to ask you is, from my position as a journalist, and then I want you to kind of give the public your idea on what you think everybody could maybe do in this regard. Number one, as a journalist, as you and I have talked about, and I don't know that you're going to disagree with me here, but we better be asking hard questions about big public projects. Yep. I mean, you were the mayor who made sure that if you didn't think the fast ferry was working anymore, you're willing to pull the plug. And so I think hard questions are vital. The journalists in this town have to push on big public projects or public-private projects. I don't think you disagree with that,
no,
do you?
No, I don't.
Is that different than being overly negative?
No. You know what? I think any project, any public official, you welcome scrutiny. And we should be. I think trust is the most important thing. And sometimes there are things that happen that create a perception otherwise. So I think that is important. I think asking the hard questions and getting the answers. And I always would say this. Criticism, or whether it be from the media or anybody else, I'd always think you learn two things. If you're right, you can stand by it. If you're wrong or something, and someone's pointing out, you can fix it. I use the same thing with audits. I love audits. I don't know how many people welcome audits and auditors. I go back to my time as chief, mayor, and now in this job. We love auditors because they either reinforce you're doing things the right way, or they point out where you have to fix things. And nothing can be a more assistance. So, no, I think those tough questions are important to make sure it's the best project. And for citizens, the same thing. I think I'm not saying don't speak your mind and raise issues and challenge and debate. At some point, let's fix those things, hopefully have a consensus, create a win-win somewhere along the line, and get behind it and go. And I think Buffalo is doing that now. And I think Rochester is going to do it more effectively. Renaissance Square, people had strong feelings both sides on that one. And I remember having discussions with my team, because actually when that project was pulled by the county, I was on the phone with one of our city council members who was the fifth vote, and that person couldn't make a decision. And the county pulled it, and I remember we had discussions that for those that were against the project and would criticize anybody who supported it, would be the same people who would criticize the city for the block looking the same way 5 or 10 years later. And just now, things are beginning to change down there on Main Street between St. Paul and Clinton. But Was it the best project? No, but I would say this. Two projects were well-funded, and some people, I can remember getting some calls from people that were upset that, you know, you guys can't get your act together in Rochester. We're getting this money set aside.
Who said that?
Can't tell you who, but I got a couple of very interesting phone calls, and then I'll let you guess on that, from people in a higher office. And I think it became a reputation that we had that we just couldn't get things done. And
so we should have done Renaissance Square?
No, I think, you know, in the end, now I would say it's probably a you know, a better thing where private sector development is coming. We have the transit center is there, so it's built. MCC is probably in a better location across from where we are right now. They have a great spot at Kodak. But if MCC didn't happen here, and that block sat vacant for a decade, you know, it wouldn't have been the worst thing down there. And I think that, but at this point, it didn't stop because there's something better. I think there's just strong feelings on both sides, some strong personalities, and it just died on the vine. And it's not the project so much, but people that got us money at the federal level developed a sense that we couldn't get our act together locally. And it's not their fault. It's just that we couldn't, maybe we could have modified that differently back then, as opposed to maybe sides digging in, because one of the interesting moments of that was a city council meeting, which I was at, with the county officials and RGRT people. It was Mark Ash at that time. It wasn't Bill Carpenter. If Bill Carpenter was the CEO of RGRT, it might have been very different, very different outcome. He's much more of a person who will collaborate and speak, and it was not, with his predecessor, was not the case. But even at meeting, the tensions and anger and stress could have been avoided, could have been dealt with differently, as opposed to both sides digging in. So, you know, in the end, it happened. But it happened. And I just think we learned from those things, and we could do a better job even behind the scenes trying to negotiate and work on the areas that were most impactful. And I will tell you bluntly, my position on that was a performing arts center was not funded, and the city would give up Maine and Clinton, and if we couldn't even get close to the funding, would we give it up forever? I think that was the point of debate, which we never resolved.
But you're saying it shouldn't have been a project that died. There could have been more debate, yep, and consensus.
I think there could have been a better outcome, and I think that, you know, sometimes if both sides dig in and wank certain things, it doesn't happen. And, you know,
you were willing to give if the other side was willing to give.
I think, as Maggie Brooks would tell you, if we're trying to raise money, if we could raise the money, we were going to help raise money, and we were going to say if it didn't get to a certain point, we would have extended the time period. But I think that there are a lot of chefs in the kitchen on that one, on both sides, and it stopped. You know what? And I think in many ways, it's not good politics. It's not good government on all sides, and it's not good policy. And I think we could have done a better job. And maybe, you know what, you don't go back and revisit those things, but you learn for the future. Let's get into a room, close the door. What can we do to make it a win-win? And if it's a total dog, stop it. If it can be saved and fixed and modified, that would really be a win, then try and make that happen.
Okay. And when it comes to current projects or recent projects, do you see any other similarities? Do you see any other projects that have been scuttled, halted because of this sort of mired in negativity? Or are you worried about other projects that could get scuttled because of that?
I think more worried the perception. I mean, there was a little battle with the Photonics headquarters at one time, which was not helpful. And then you have Renaissance Square was one. And, you know, Parcel 5, you could see it coming up again. And, you know, people want green space there, but I will also say, you know, the mayor has a responsibility to keep this city afloat fiscally, and that's at least it's taxable property. And you know, to give that up, you also have, where is she going to make that up from? That, to me, when you look at that center city, and those taxes that she would get from properties, even with a pilot agreement, she would be recouping monies from that, go to help other things and other programs. So she has a fiscal responsibility as well. And, you know, I think so that it's not that she doesn't like green space. I think it's one of the issues. And have Tom Golisano willing to give at least $25 million to get something done. That doesn't happen a lot or very often either. So my thought is that somewhere along the line, people will get, you know, work things out and move ahead. But at some point, you know, the mayor's going to say, we're going to go in this direction, as she should. And when she's the mayor and, you know, she leads that direction, I think it's going to go and happen. But I have a sense that they'll work things out right now.
All right, before I get Betsy's phone call, Betsy, hang there, and I've got a couple of emails to read for Bob. Just on the subject of Photonics, this is one where I think the community felt, you know, early on, some of the sound bites we heard, Joel Seligman was saying, you know, this could be the modern Xerox and Kodak, and all of a sudden everyone's got these images of tens of thousands of jobs, and now we have dozens of jobs, and we could eventually have thousands of jobs if things really go well, but we're probably never replacing Kodak, which I'm looking at across the street here, 65,000 jobs. Do you think any of the rhetoric early on oversold that? Do you think that's why some of the community has been a little cynical about that?
I think so. I think, you know, part of it is you want to, downplay the expectations early on and then hopefully, you know, exceed those expectations.
We did the opposite here. We cranked the expectations.
I don't know who it was. Somebody had said we'll see 5,000 jobs in the center.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen. I mean, I'm on the board. When that facility is operated, there might be less than 100 people there, but the investment the state is making, the equipment is state of the art. Some of you don't get anywhere in this country. I think it's going to draw people here. Companies to come, maybe using it, researchers to come. So I do think it's going to do some very good things. But I've been trying to always downplay those things that were said early on, which I think have impacted people. You know, there's no saving grace. There's no holy grail. But I do think it's a very, very important component to the future. And it plays off our technology, our brain power here. We're going to be packaging, the semiconductor industry, hopefully from Albany and other places that will make them a center here for packaging.
Sure.
We'll draw other companies, universities here, a lot of very, very smart people involved.
How many jobs are possible, you think?
Well, and here's my thought. In terms of running the actual packaging facility, I would say 50 to 75 running it. Hard to say, people coming in. Ed White is leading that facility right now. He's like the manager of the operation down there. Ed is terrific. Kodak executive, scientist. I think he along with Mike Lear and the state have marketed that place very well. We have brain power from all of the country involved with this whole consortium. I think we have to sell it, but here's the thing. What hurt us early on was all the debacle, and there's other things that have happened since then. You know, if I'm looking to invest, I Google, I see some stories, I might say, you know, I might not want to go there. And that's kind of my point for even, you know, talking earlier. You can't avoid some of those stories, but I think that the more you realize how sometimes a negative story or sea of negativity could impact people saying, I don't want to come there. If I'm going to move out of state to a community and I hear and read bad things, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go someplace else. So that's kind of my point is don't sugarcoat things, but it's how we deal with some of these issues, deal with them, but let's also appreciate what we have and make it better.
All right, a lot of different directions to go. So just to make sure I understand, that 6,000 jobs number doesn't seem to have come from anything. It was kind of arbitrary.
I don't know I can't tell you who even said that. That never came out of my mouth. I'm not sure. It's been attributed to a couple of different people. It was the day it was announced here. And actually, I was at a Chamber of Commerce school at Villanova that day. I remember seeing it in the paper. I think somebody said 5,000 or 6,000 jobs. We'll see. And here's the thing. In that facility, you'll never see 6,000. But could it bring that many other companies coming to use this technology? I think it's if we market it and work it and some of the investments, you know, then I think we're going to see some very positive things. I'm not going to say 5,000 or 6,000. I don't know. But we'll have technologies there that nobody else will have. And I think we have to market those and get people. And it's going to be universities, researchers, companies that hopefully will come here and take advantage of that.
Right. So do you think that number was a mistake to float it?
Whoever said it, I would never said it. Okay. I think maybe it was wishful thinking, but I've never, ever seen any data from day one that facility itself, it's on two floors. You couldn't fit 5,000, it'd be hanging out the windows. So we have two floors. But keep in mind, if companies move into Eastman Business Park wanting to access that technology, maybe take a building across the street or down the road and want to work at it or come in and send a team of researchers for a couple of years, I think those are things that we'll see. And maybe contracts from the government, other places come out of that create more jobs. I think we have to build upon it, but we have to tone down the rhetoric and really show the results. Don't promise. Don't make promises. You know, just show the results and you make it happen.
All right, let me get some phone calls. Betsy in Brighton next with Bob Duffy. Go ahead, Betsy.
Hi, I'm a big cheerleader for Rochester. I didn't grow up here locally. I grew up in the Boston area, and my family cannot convince me to move back because I think Rochester has everything. I really feel it's a diamond in the rough, and I agree that a lot of people who grew up here don't see it for the value that it has. I love the public market and the art scene here. I think that my big idea that I keep pushing, and I'd love to work with somebody on it, is creating a living museum in the downtown area where the Erie Canal is, near where the Susan B. Anthony House is. And I was wondering if Mr. Duffy had ever been to the Old Williamsburg facility down in Old Williamsburg, Virginia. The Rockefellers had invested money in buying houses that were dilapidated. The town used to be a little one stoplight rundown place, and they slowly bought out the houses and renovated them back to the era that they were originally constructed in, and created a fabulous living museum there that is now a huge draw. I don't know that I'd want to have Rochester become as developed as Old Williamsburg is with their Six Flags Park next door, but I do think that developing that historical component and having a living museum in the downtown area would provide jobs for the people who don't have transportation to go further out. We could potentially connect it to other areas on the Finger Lakes where the Harriet Tubman House and the Seward House is. And we also have a lot of guilds in town, the Knitting Guild, the Weaving Guild, the Woodworkers Guild. And I think that if we use some of those real high-end crafts that people specialize in here, that could help create some economic development, you know, by offering classes or seminars on a regular basis.
All right, Bob. So have you been to Old Williamsburg, Virginia?
Thank First of all, Betsy, I think Don Jeffrey should hire you at Visit Rochester, number one. I've been to Williamsburg. I've run those streets in early morning. It's fabulous. And we have so much history here. But, you know, the Frederick Douglass Resource Center here closed down for some reason in the past. And I think in D.C., there's much more for Frederick Douglass. Sometimes if we don't take advantage of our own history, somebody else will. And I was in Savannah, Georgia recently, and we walk through Savannah. You have walking tours everywhere, a lot of history. We have a lot here to be proud of. And we just should trumpet it more and get people out walking, talking, and celebrating it.
I'm hearing voices from another booth in my ear. I don't know why. Let me read an email from Rachel. Rachel writes, Mr. Duffy, I agree that we have an excellent location, but I'm frustrated by the fact that visitors to our area drive on a litter-infested 490 east and west. New York State DOT was out making an effort last week, cleaning a section westbound from downtown toward 390, but didn't finish. And says there's animal carcasses, trash, car parts. Why can't we keep this more inviting for anyone coming to enjoy the wonderful festivals and all the area has to offer? Rochester is awesome. Let's give them a great first impression.
Well, I agree that, first of all, the grass should be cut, things picked up, but also the best way to keep that clean is people don't throw stuff out their windows in their cars.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I jumped out on South and Alexander one time when I was mayor, when a young kid threw a garbage bag out of his car window and picked it up for him and put it back in and said, sorry, you must have dropped this by accident. If you want to keep our city clean, our community clean, don't litter and pick up. And that's the whole Operation Clean Sweep we started. The mayor keeps going today. Have pride in our place. And part of being proud is being clean and picking up litter and garbage.
All right, so let's close with some of what you want the public to do on a regular basis. What do you think Rochesterians in the Finger Lakes region can do, just the average citizen on a day-to-day basis, to what would be your call to action?
Hey, talk it up. Be proud. I mean, be proud of where we are, what we have, and look around. You know what? I'll tell you what. We have everything we need right here in this region. Is everything perfect? No. On big projects, get involved. Let your input be heard, but then work toward a consensus. You know, it's about trying to get things done and look for things that will create jobs. And I'll tell you what, tourism, I think, is one of the top job creators in our region, and it's huge. And at Finger Lakes Welcome Center yesterday was just an indicator of just a welcome center to our region, which is fabulous. I think getting people involved, I'm going to go back to Rock the River Way, which you'll hear about very soon. Kudos to the board on that, but kudos to all the neighborhood organizations and groups that wanted to get involved and have some say, and they were listened to. It doesn't mean everybody gets their way, but if you're listened to, that's it. I've been married 33 years. I don't get my way. If I get it once in a while, I'm pretty happy, but at least I am heard, and I think when I'm at work, everyone I've ever worked for or with, if I at least be heard, have my opinion valued and at least taken into consideration, I'm pretty happy. When you're shut down, you're not happy. So be heard, but also try and find ways to collaborate and get behind people and make things happen.
And we'll close with an anecdote you shared in your essay for RBJ that you think is a good example, the garbage plate story. Remind people what happened there.
Well, I think it was Nashville tried to take over the garbage plate. And here's what I always say. If you have a void, somebody will take it over. And the anger on social media. All of us who've eaten garbage plates over the years from the venerable Nick Tahoe's restaurant came to the rescue, and I think people in Nashville kind of got the sense that you guys don't own this. Rochester does. And I said, if you can capture that sense of pride and anger and feeling you're affronted by somebody taking over something that's clearly Rochester, then apply that to other things. Apply it to the Finger Lakes, our downtown, all the our museums, our amenities, our arts, our culture, our neighborhood, everything. I think we just have to look around us, try and make it better, but be proud of who we are and where we are.
And by the way, since I've got the 45 seconds, I'll ask you, you know, we opened the conversation with a little bit of your concern that in those early days you wanted this one singular message and you didn't think there was enough collaboration going on in the room. I don't know if Nick Tahoe's just never hired an attorney or a copyright attorney. There are rubbish plates, there's trash plates, there's dumpster plates. They seem to be okay with it. I mean, everybody knows the garbage plate is Nick Tahoe and they're the inventor. Is that a case where you think they could have blown up some of that and they've sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudged it? Or how do you feel about that?
I think they let their fans take over and defend them. And I can tell you from my travels around the state, everybody knows Nick Tahoe. So we should be proud of that great family, what they've done and everything else. And we have a lot to be proud of here. And let's talk it up, Rochester. Let's get one big message for this region, something we're all proud to get behind.
Well, thank you at least for coming in and for knowing that we're going to continue to ask the hard questions, but Bob differentiates that from criticism that then gets to be self-sabotaging. And I'm sure there will be plenty of time to debate that and agree and disagree in the future, but I know you'll come back and talk about various projects. Always good. Thank
300%.
You.
Evan, thank you.
Bob Duffy is the president and CEO of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce. His piece, now is the time to reinforce our civic and regional pride on RBJ, on the Chamber website, and we'll link to it so you can read it and share it if you like. More connections coming up next.